Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. Been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Hello, welcome again to Howe's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight is our monthly recap episode where we look back on all the top news stories in Brooklyn real estate from the past month of April. Stay tuned for Bob.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn.
Welcome again to Howe's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. As I said, it's our monthly recap episode. We look back on all the top news stories in Brooklyn real estate from the past month of April. And here, as always, is our host, Robert Howe.
Well, thank you, Jason, and welcome everyone to How's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and as always, we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing. And as Jason mentioned, this is our monthly recap. But Jason, this monthly recap seems like every week all of a sudden. What is there, only one week in the month? And every week is these months are flying past us with all this this good Brooklyn real estate news.
That's and Brooklyn real estate, it is so much going on and so much news to get to. We can't wait a whole month to do the monthly recap anymore.
So we fool with the calendar a little bit, but no, this is truly the monthly recap. But once again, it seems like we did one just yesterday too, and the stories, thankfully, are all good, great, and very positive. So what do you got for us this month, the ending of the month of April 2018 in Brooklyn, New York?
In our Jeopardy category of potpourri, we've got a hodgepodge of different stories this month, and the first one comes to us from Business Insider, and I think I might start breaking our monthly recap stories down into categories, and I might start calling this the opening. We may leave off with a market report, because it seems like every month there's a story of new highs or new numbers or increases over the same quarter a year ago. So in our market reports segment, we're going to look at the Business Insider story. Prices hit record highs in one out of three Brooklyn neighborhoods, and it goes on to list a few of the usual suspects in terms of Brooklyn neighborhoods that are always on the top of the list, and including Carroll Gardens, Dumbo, Park Slope, Greenpoint, as coming in among the cities top 10 most expensive in the first quarter of 2018.
Well, you know what's interesting about those four, Carroll Gardens, Dumbo, Park Slope, and Greenpoint? They are sort of, when it comes to talking about hot Brooklyn neighborhoods, those are never the ones, well, maybe Park Slope, but Carroll Gardens, Dumbo, and Greenpoint really don't make the list when you're talking about like hot, trendy neighborhoods, Williamsburg's, Bushwick's, now maybe even parts of East New York. It's interesting that they didn't make that list. I guess trendy and hot does not make for the highest rise in value. Instead, neighborhoods, Carroll Gardens used to be an old, predominantly Italian neighborhood, beautiful brownstone buildings, four-story high brownstone buildings. You know, entire families were raised out of one of those buildings, the grandparents, parents, children, and grandchildren. Dumbo was all warehouses and factories. You could hardly get to it. You'd have to find the right street that went, down into Dumbo, and yet quietly, of course, they do have a waterfront, a view, probably adding to the value of the area. Park Slope, trendy for the last 20, 30 years. Before that, Park Slope, had a little bit of a tough reputation. Different ethnic groups had different blocks, and they all protected their turf, and that has all changed. And you have baby carriages and strollers vying for space on the sidewalk. Greenpoint, predominantly Polish neighborhood, and got trendy, and everybody wanted to move in, but it still remains kind of a neighborhood, mostly low-rise buildings, a couple commercial strips, kind of neighborhoody, but never really too hot, too much mentioned as a destination for nightlife for young people. But, you know, I guess sometimes maybe the lesson is slow and steady wins the race, not hot and trendy. I don't know what your thoughts are on that topic, Jason.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You hit it on the head, man. You're right about pointing out that a lot of those neighborhoods aren't the hot neighborhoods we hear about when we have brokers on that come and give us their when we, you know, we put them on the spot for what your up and coming neighborhood. They're kind of like the old guard, the old hot trendy, and it seems like they don't necessarily go away. They just, people are just trying to emulate them, or just say, hey, they seem to be vying for the title of the next Park Slope, or the next Park Slope, or who's going to be, you know, this quarter's Dumbo, or if you will. So it's interesting to see the increase in the price for square footage, and then how it, you know, we're still chasing Manhattan, but the gap is getting closer. So it's always interesting to see these numbers and how the competition is there between Manhattan, Brooklyn, and while Brooklyn may never attain Manhattan levels, it doesn't seem like it needs to come out on top or ahead, given the fact that, you know, Brooklyn is this almost magical destination where everyone wants to be. It's the trendiest of the trendy, and in terms of real estate in around the globe. And by the way, we're in the shadow of Manhattan, so we don't have Manhattan's all the bad things about Manhattan, all Manhattan's headaches, but we get to benefit from the proximity of it, and then get all the good things that come with being Brooklyn.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And one part of the article mentioned that these were all neighborhoods that were once middle class, and now they've become the most expensive. And I guess the value there is that people moving in see that they're buying into a neighborhood. You know, the commercial strip is there, the housing stock is still there, and these people are realizing, hey, there's a value to buying in a neighborhood instead of a 50-story building tucked away somewhere in downtown Brooklyn, you know, surrounded by, you know, shopping areas and things like that. And maybe they're saying, hey, we want a neighborhood, you know. We're in Brooklyn, but we still want a neighborhood. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, hot and trendy. I think neighborhood probably, adds a lot of value to the value of the property.
Yeah, it is Brooklyn's biggest selling point. And I think, you know, a lot of people that we see featured in these stories who are looking for places and identifying a few places as either to be investment property or places to relocate, to move from other parts of the country, or even maybe upgrading in Brooklyn. That seems to be like one of the things that they're looking for. And it's a unique thing for Brooklyn to still have that ability to claim a neighborhood feel, or a neighborhood that the coziness of a neighborhood, when it's what, the fourth largest city in the country, or, you know, in the shadow of the biggest city in the world. So, I mean, it and yet there's still that selling point of, oh, it's old, charmy, old world Brooklyn, it's neighborhood feel. So it's interesting that Brooklyn is still able to maintain that and lay claim to that.
You're absolutely right. Good story about Brooklyn. Interesting that they, mentioned a couple neighborhoods that many of our broker friends who come on the show don't mention when we're talking about trends and the next hot neighborhood and where's the greatest area to buy. And these are not mentioned, but yet as we said, slow and steady, turns out to have the highest value in Brooklyn.
Our next story comes from the Bridge, and it's an interesting story, not so much that it's specifically about Brooklyn, but it is something that we've kind of talked about and touched on in different areas and on different in relation to other topics and kind of merges them together. We've talked about how the real estate industry has benefited greatly from advancements in technology and how it may have been stagnant for a while, but due to some new technology, it's kind of helped the real estate professionals get ahead of the curve and also help buyers to utilize technology to find homes more easily, more readily than they would if they had to pound the pavement. This was a technology summit that took place in Brooklyn, and another thing we've discussed is how a lot of tech firms and tech companies and of all sizes are coming to Brooklyn and calling Brooklyn home, and calls when tech meets real estate, construction gets smarter. It's really about a tech summit that happened at the Williamsburg Hotel in Brooklyn, talking about technological advancements in developments and building.
Yeah, it's interesting. Of course, it goes under the topic that yet another app or software, program is being developed to make all of our lives a touch easier, a touch more informative, a touch more organized. And this is a story, about that. I like the window fellow who, people mm-hmm. don't really appreciate what windows do other than, keep the weather out and birds and bugs and stuff like that. But here, this company is telling you how their windows and doors help lower, energy costs, cooling and heating costs by just having, better windows, and there's no waste. I know you go into an older building, they have old drafty windows, and they have those things they call storm windows on the outside, which are probably just as drafty and inefficient. Now you don't see that. You see, multiple layers of panes of glass that, resist cold and heat and just make the place, a lot more comfortable. What was the either the app or the software that you were interested in, Jason?
I thought the window one with the thermal, which I thought a very clever tactic by them, was to show the thermal image of all the heat escaping from all of New York. It's that's a pretty a pretty powerful image if you're a window company to say, hey, look at all the energy that's escaping, the money that you're throwing away. I mean, it's a pretty clever way to kind of get people interested in windows. The one that I kind of like was the final one that was showed a digital city, a digital construct of what buildings would look like, I guess, to help you maybe get a better idea of a geographic footprint and how the space would look around in other spaces, or maybe an area that doesn't have this type of skyline, and show you what it could be. I guess if a new city was to pop up somewhere, I thought that was kind of interesting. There was a couple of other firms. There's one firm that whose claim to fame or whose presentation geared more towards almost sounding like they were a virtual contractor, where they kind of put everybody together more easily and kind of made the coordination of tasks and communication between all the different parties that have to come together to build something go more smoothly it is an incredible process for all the people that are involved in building a home to work together cohesively and on deadline. But there were a couple of interesting ones, and it's really telling that this is taking place in Brooklyn, where you wouldn't think, well, where are all these places going? But it seems like there's more and more development. There's repurposing of spaces. So there's a lot of construction going up, but also construction that's refurbishing older construction to kind of make all these different improvements to maybe incorporate some of the technological advances that people are starting to expect in terms of like luxury spaces where they're going to look for all these amenities, and these tech companies are finding ways to kind of get in there and make these things built easier.
Yeah, no, interesting article. How tech and apps are once again assisting developers, builders, and also allowing people who are about to buy to get an idea of what the project will look like after it's finished, have a little better idea of what they're buying. Right now, they're just looking at an empty space, and this will help them visualize, something else. So, what else you got for us?
Next story is from the New York Times real estate section, and it's one of our. This is my other segment that I want to start incorporating in is our almost like our. Our Venus flytrap segment, where Brooklyn is ensnaring another transplant who's coming from out of state, was coming to the big city, big dreams. I want to live in Brooklyn. I want to buy in Brooklyn. And again, this is similar to not too long ago where we had somebody else who was in their late 20s who was a forward thinker in terms of buying versus maybe renting and decided that, hey, I'm going to save up so that I can own something. And this person comes from a Phoenix transplant, buys in Brooklyn, 28-year-old professional from Yelp. And she had they set up where I'm going to have a budget. I'm going to see three places. It's almost like a show on Bravo where they have somebody who comes to Brooklyn and they tell the broker, I've got X amount of money and then find me a place and I'll pick one of the three you find. So she had these grand designs on a neighborhood and found maybe that some of the neighborhoods she picked were a little too pricey. And I love the quote from her dad, when he tells her you're not living out on the street, you're living in the apartment, which kind of redirected or refocused her thinking and allowed her to maybe find some other better values for space.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, one thing, how does the New York Times find these people? The one person who moved, out of the zillion people who moved into Brooklyn, they find this person who just happened to work for Yelp, which is kind of a sexy thing to work for, but it is interesting. So you're going to have to figure out how they find these people. And the other thing is, this woman is probably glad to be in New York. I was in Phoenix in the end of October, and it was 100 degrees. It was 100 degrees in October, the end of October.
But it's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat. Yes, you shrivel up, and you die a very dry death. But in any event, yeah. So this is yet another story of, the argument of renting or buying. And yes, renting is a chunk of money each month out of your bank account. You're not building any equity. But on the other hand, you're not putting down a chunk of money anywhere. And I guess some of the real estate people we've had on our show over the last couple of years probably subscribe to the theory. If you're only going to be there a short period of time, probably renting is the way to go, although that monthly chunk out of your savings account or checking account, it does get your attention. if you're going to be putting your roots down for more than 5 years, 5 to 10 years, probably the appreciation, if there are any tax benefits left to it, you know, might be worthwhile in doing that. But this woman now is, you know, only laying out a little more money, but building equity. So I guess that was the goal that she wanted to, you know, get and attain, and she did. Was there anything else? Oh, so, I see there was comment about she wanted central heating and air conditioning. Of course, you know, coming from Phoenix, you want, you know, central air conditioning, and you know, and of course, Dad's quote was pretty good. You know, like you said, you're not living on the street; you're living on. Although, you know, you do walk out of your apartment, that's the first thing you see is. You know, the first thing that strikes you is, you know, who is your neighborhood. So I don't know if I fully agree with Dad, but certainly you have to like your apartment too.
But it's a typical Dad quote. It seems like, you know, when she's banging her head against the wall, the Dad comes in and says, "Well, here's another way to look at it." And I did find it, one thing jumped out at me was the price of a one bedroom, and that's the, you know, somebody coming from Phoenix seemed pretty at ease with saying, "Yeah, here's my budget, $600,000 for a one bedroom apartment," when you're paying $1,000 a month, as the article says, in Phoenix for a 1,000 square foot one bedroom, which is a pretty sizable apartment. To come to Brooklyn, the area that she's looking, I would think 1,000 square feet. Could very easily cost you that, but that's a pretty surprising, well, it's not surprising given our market reports, but that is a pretty striking number for a one-bedroom apartment.
And of course, she's also looking in Park Slope, which we just mentioned was one of the the most valuable
neighborhoods.
Brooklyn Heights, which I'm surprised Brooklyn Heights didn't make the list, going back, you know, two stories. But, I mean, she is looking in the best of the best neighborhoods, and I guess surprisingly, you know, you're paying top dollar for that. Yeah, $499 or $525 for an apartment, $550. Wow. Those prices which would get you coming off the plane from Phoenix.
And our last story we're going to wrap up with is occasionally this one comes from Brown Star. It's just a property spotlight. Occasionally going through the stories and looking for things to talk about, a property will jump out at you and just grab your attention based on its sheer stunning and impressive features. And this one is clearly falls into that category. Grand Renaissance Revival Limestone in Lefferts Manor, with a garage, a sunroom, asking just a shade under $4 million. But if anyone wanted to really appreciate this, go to Brownstone and look up this story. The images of the interior of this place are just spectacular. It almost looks like every room is in a different architectural style. Like every room could be its own Architectural Digest cover.
Right. It is pretty amazing. You know, really brings you back like a century or two ago, where you think some land baron, cattle baron, sugar baron,
any
metal baron, any kind of baron, you know, bought this place. And you are right that that each room just is so unique. It's just you know, it is pretty crazy. Each room is just so gorgeously done, and we do recommend to our listenership that they do check out these pictures, because they are quite quite spectacular.
Yeah, designed in 1909 by a prolific Brooklyn architect, Axel Hedman. The interior makes me think that maybe this is what the dad was talking about when he was telling his daughter, "You're not living out on the street, you're living in the apartment." So maybe if this is the type of place he was envisioning that for her to live in, I could easily see where he was coming from.
Yes. Certainly you wouldn't mind what was outside. You probably have your chauffeur pick you up. You wouldn't even know what was outside. But the amount of, a carpentry that went into this place and, plaster and just all these old details, the wood floors, mm-hmm. spectacular fireplaces, yeah. windows that are probably not very thermally rated, but spectacular, nonetheless. And that one room, I'm trying to think what it's like with all those windows surrounding, and they have some sort of work area, like you'd see in a bank or something. The all spectacular, except for the kitchen. The kitchen is jolts you into the future. Although it doesn't look like they really are too concerned with cooking in this place. I have to.
No. It looks like a very gilded manor.
Yes. Yes.
And with that, I really you just check it out. It's pretty spectacular. And then with that, we come to the end of our recap show. And Bob, why don't you take us out?
Well, once again, this concludes tonight's radio program, our monthly recap show. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show, and thanks to Jason for the research he's done in, once again, bringing us yet another article of how prices in Brooklyn are hitting sky-high numbers, and then, of course, ending with a home that really proves why, the prices are commanding, or why the homes are commanding those prices. This is House New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge.